वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, The Opulence of the Absolute, verse number 25. Maharishi nam brigur aham giram asmi ekam aksharam yajna nam japa yajno asmi sthavara nam himalaya. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Of the great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental Om. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, Jap. And of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Brahma, the first living creature within the universe, created several suns for the propagation of various kinds of species. Among these suns, Bhrigu is the most powerful sage. Of all the transcendental vibrations, Om, Omkar, represents Krishna. Of all sacrifices, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is the purest representation of Krishna. Sometimes, animal sacrifices are recommended, but in the sacrifice of Hare Krishna, there is no question of violence. It is the simplest and the purest. Whatever is sublime in the worlds is a representation of Krishna. Therefore, the Himalayas, the greatest mountains in the world, also represent Him. The mountain named Meru was mentioned in a previous verse, but Meru is sometimes movable, whereas the Himalayas are never movable. Thus, the Himalayas are greater than Meru. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Thinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, 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 Hare.
Give me water.
So we are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, verse number 25. Of the great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental Om. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names. And of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. So of the great sages, Krishna says, I am Bhrigu Muni. Bhrigu Muni is son of Lord Brahma and is very powerful sage. He was created with a purpose to give rise to population in this universe. There is one very famous pastime in which Bhrigu Muni was requested by many sages in an assembly to go and find out, to test who is superior, Brahma, Vishnu or Mahesh. Long years back, many sages assembled to perform some fire sacrifice. And during the performance of the sacrifice, they would discuss also. Discuss philosophy, discuss scriptures, Vedic literature. So during the discussion, some points they may agree, some points they don't agree. If a muni agrees with all other munis, then he has no speciality. So then there is no meaning. So they will speculate in such a way that some new point they come out or some disagreement they come out, so they become special. So during the discussion, the topic came, who is superior among the three guna avatars? Lord Brahma, who creates the universe, Lord Vishnu, who maintains the universe, or Lord Shiva, who destroys the universe. Who is superior? Anybody knows the answer?
Vishnu.
See, we are so fortunate because these sages didn't attend our Tuesday programs. So they became so confused. So one group said, Brahma is superior. Another group said, no, Vishnu is superior. Another group said, no, Shivji is superior. So what to do? So they said, okay, we will test each one of them out. Who has highest mode of goodness? Now who will go and test these three personalities? That's not easy. So Bhrigu Muni is a very powerful sage, very knowledgeable, very respectable, very highly in mode of goodness. So they selected Bhrigu Muni that you go, test them, find out who is greatest and report us back. So Bhrigu Muni agreed for the project. And he went to Lord Brahma to test him. Now in order to test Brahma, Bhrigu Muni, he offended him by not paying dandavat pranam to him or by not offering respects to him. When a son goes to the father or a disciple goes to the spiritual master, he must offer respects. He must offer dandavat pranam. He must bow down. If the disciple meets the spiritual master and does not offer obeisances, that is offense. That is apradh. That is disrespect. And that should not be done. Whenever the disciple meets the spiritual master, should pay obeisances. Even sees from far, should pay obeisances. Even does some service, should pay obeisances. Even outside the temple, on the road, where there is kichad, what to do? Should pay obeisances. And same way, when he leaves the presence of the spiritual master, should pay obeisances. That is the etiquette. Spiritual master is more valuable than the clothes. Clothes can be washed again. Aparadh can't be washed again. It's difficult to wash aparadh. Because no company has come out with a good detergent to wash aparadh. Ariel, Surf, they wash clothes, not aparadh. So Bhrigu Muni, he didn't pay obeisances to Lord Brahma, who is his spiritual master, who is his father. He didn't offer even respects to him. So Brahma got angry. He said, after so long time, my son is meeting me and is not following minimum etiquette of offering respects. Brahma got angry. But Brahma controlled his anger. He didn't say anything to Bhrigu Muni. But still that anger changed the facial features. The face features changed. And Bhrigu Muni could observe that this fellow got angry. So Bhrigu Muni left Brahma Loka. Brahmaji had enough mode of goodness to control his anger. So Bhrigu Muni noted it down. So this was mental offense. There are three levels of offense. One is offense from the mind, example not paying respects. One is offense from the words, example abusing, giving bad words or speaking insulting words. And third is highest offense by the body, by physically beating somebody. So in the category of offense, this was lowest category. Mental offense, not paying respects. From there, Bhrigu Muni went to Kailash to meet Lord Shiv. Lord Shiv is his brother. And when Lord Shiva saw his brother Bhrigu Muni coming after so many years, he wanted to embrace Bhrigu Muni. But Bhrigu Muni stopped him. He said, wait, don't touch me. You are unclean. You are impure. I don't know if you have taken bath or not. And all this crematorium grounds ash is on your body. Don't touch me. So this is also offense. He insulted his own brother Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva definitely applies crematorium ash on his body. But still he is pure. He is not considered unclean. He is highest Vaishnava. But Bhrigu Muni insulted him, verbal aparadh, higher aparadh, and Lord Shiva, he got angry. So angry that he took his trident to kill Bhrigu Muni on the spot. And then Parvati saw all this, she immediately came, touched the feet of Lord Shiva, pacified with sweet words, invoked his mode of goodness, and Lord Shiva got pacified. So Bhrigu Muni left Kailash. He went to Vaikunth. Vaikunth, he saw in the bedroom, Lord Narayan was lying down on the bed of flowers. Mother Lakshmi was massaging his feet. And the first thing Bhrigu Muni did with his feet, with his leg, he kicked the chest of Vishnu. That too in front of his wife. This is bigger aparadh. Physical violence. He kicked Vishnu's chest. Lakshmiji got very angry. Said, what is this? Kicking my husband. Lord Vishnu immediately got up from the bed. Offered a very nice Vyasasan to Bhrigu Muni. And started massaging his feet. He said, my dear Brahmana, my chest is very hard. Your feet are very soft. You must have got hurt. Let me massage your feet. And I beg forgiveness from you that when you came to my palace, I was not at the door to receive you. By your coming to Vaikuntha, my whole Vaikuntha is purified. And he glorified Bhrigu Muni. And he didn't show any anger. And Bhrigu Muni was speechless. He couldn't speak anything. His voice got choked up. Tears were flowing from his eyes. And he came back down. He narrated all the experience. And he concluded, Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is in highest mode of goodness. In fact, Lord Vishnu is above mode of goodness. He is beyond the three modes of material nature. He is Divyam. He is transcendental. He is not within ignorance or passion or not even in goodness. He is above that. So that was Bhrigu Muni, who tested all the three great personalities, and he gave the report that Lord Vishnu is superior to Brahmaji and Lord Shiv. So today we have the ready-made report, experiment already done, direct law we have. We don't have to reinvent anything in the laboratory. Like we study Newton's three laws, we don't go and experiment or try to prove it, already ready-made. We use it directly. And so many other technologies form based on that. So we already have ready-made, experiment done, conclusion given that Lord Vishnu is superior. So that's Bhrigu Muni. So among sages, Krishna says, I am Bhrigu, the son of Lord Brahma. Then among chants, not our chanting, among Akshar, I am Om, transcendental vibration Om. Om represents Krishna. Om is another sound representation of Krishna, like Hare Krishna. Sometimes people think Om means light. And some people, they chant Om and they think of light. That's not necessary. If you are chanting Om, you can think of Krishna, Radharas Bihari. He is Om. He says here, I am Om. This about Om, we will discuss lots of details in future verses. Then Krishna says, among the jap, among the sacrifices, among the yajna, I am chanting of the holy names. Earlier Vedic times, people would do sacrifice to please Vishnu, or to get a son, or to kill an enemy, or to go to heavenly planets, or to get some benefit, or to fulfill some desire, or to get rain, or to have India-Pakistan, win the India-Pakistan match, or election. Anyway, that is not part of yajna. So earlier people would do fire sacrifice where even horses were cut, or goats were cut, or cows were cut. Ashwamedh yajna, go yajna, so many different ways. Sacrifice means an activity to please Vishnu. So among all the sacrifices to please Vishnu, the highest, the supreme, is chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is called Sankirtan Yajna or Naam Yajna. When we chant the holy name of Krishna, Vishnu is pleased, Krishna is pleased. So that is also sacrifice. But that is highest and most easy to do. Generally in sacrifices, we require lots of money, lots of wealth, lots of pure items, brahmanas to chant, and lots of dakshina to be given. and a place and priest and yajman. But in chanting of holy name of Krishna, we just require one tongue and 2 ears. Nothing else. We just chant the holy name of Krishna and we hear. That's Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's sacrifice. Or for kirtan, we require kartal, mridanga, and devotees around, singers, musicians. By this, we can very easily please Krishna. Chanting is so powerful. And it's not for fulfilling material desires. That are very small things. Chanting is not for even getting liberation. That is also a very small thing. Or even getting relief from sinful reactions. Or getting free from cycle of birth and death. These are very small things. When we chant purely, without offenses, one gets love of Godhead. Haridas Thakur, he would chant 3 lakh holy names every day. That means 64 multiplied by 3 rounds. 192 rounds every day he would chant. So during his travels, he came to a village where Majumdars would stay. Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar. This was Raghunath Das Goswami's previous house. So in that village, one Vaishnav would stay, Balram Acharya, who would very much respect and serve Haridas Thakur. So when Balram Acharya received Haridas Thakur in his village, he made a separate hut for him, kutiya for him, in the village. And Haridas Thakur would sit there and do his bhajan, and daily Balram Acharya would provide him prasad. Balram Acharya, Yadunandan Acharya, and many other respectable personalities of the village would often go and sit with Haridas Thakur and chant with him. Even small Raghunath Das would often go with Balram Acharya and sit with Haridas Thakur and hear the holy name, hear the glories of the holy name. And that is how Raghunath Das got attracted to Sankirtan movement. And eventually he became Raghunath Das Goswami, one of the 6 Goswamis. So one day there was satsang in Majumdar's house, Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhana Majumdar. They were multi-millionaires at that time. So Balram Acharya invited Haridas Thakur, please you also come for the program. And Haridas Thakur agreed. And Haridas Thakur came to their house. When all the assembled audience, they saw Haridas Thakur, they offered a seat to him. And they all started glorifying Haridas Thakur, speaking about Haridas Thakur, that he is such a pure brahmachari, he is such a nice Vaishnav, he chants 192 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra daily, he chants daily without offenses, he hardly eats, hardly sleeps, whole day he just chants the holy name of Krishna. They started glorifying Haridas Thakur, then they started glorifying the holy name of Krishna. That how the holy name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna, how the holy name of Krishna is sweet and Yuga Dharma, and one should chant daily. And they said that holy name eradicates all sinful reactions, holy name gives liberation. So when Haridas Thakur heard this, he stopped them. He said, look, these are not the real benefits of the holy name. Eradication of sinful reactions, eradication of material miseries, fulfillment of material desires, or freedom from cycle of birth and death, or even liberation, these are not the real results of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The real benefit of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offenses is that we develop ecstatic love for Krishna. That is highest goal of life. That is the ultimate goal of life. Our goal of life is not to go to heaven. Our goal of life is not to achieve some mystic powers. Our goal of life is not to get liberated. Our goal of life is not to just be happy in this world. Our goal of life is to achieve, to revive back our love for Krishna. And that is done when we chant without offenses. Then Haridas Thakur explained that just as when morning sun rises, even before the sun has risen, there are rays of the sun visible. That's called twilight. And that by that twilight, all the darkness disappears. All the fear disappears. And when the actual sun rises, we do our routine activities. In the same way, even when the pure holy name, even before the pure holy name rises in our heart, there is Naam Abhas, shadow of the holy name, what we consider twilight. By that, all the sinful reactions and material anarthas dissipate. They are eradicated. And when actual pure holy name is chanted, then we develop love for Godhead. Then he explained this verse further, saying that even before the sun rises, when there is faint light in the sky, the owls, the ghosts, the robbers, the thieves, they all run away. And those who are fearful in the dark, just by that faint light of the sun, their fear is eradicated. And when the full sun rises, then people do their normal duties, their normal routine activities. In the same way, when pure holy name rises, even before that, all material desires get finished, all miseries get over, all sinful reactions, sarva papebhyo, they are taken care of. Person gets liberation. That is called Naam Abhas, the benefit of chanting the holy name of Krishna, even when reducing offenses. And when all offenses are gone, a person is chanting pure holy name, then he develops love of Godhead. He does his routine duties, normal activities. What is soul's routine normal activities? That is Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. A soul's routine activities, natural activities, is to serve Krishna eternally. So by chanting Shuddha Naam, by chanting the holy name of Krishna without offenses, one can come to the platform of Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. One can come to the platform of naturally engaged in Krishna's service. Serving Krishna transcendentally with unalloyed love in the heart. So this happens by chanting the holy name of Krishna. So nicely Śrīla Haridāsa Thakura, he explained the glories of the holy name. In that whole assembly, there was one young Brahmana sitting. His name was Gopal Chakravarti. He would work for the Majumdars, and he would collect annually 1,20,000 gold coins as tax for the king with the Majumdars. They were tax collectors. And that is a very huge profit, 1,20,000 gold coins. So this Gopal Chakravarti, he was a dry scholar. And when he heard Haridas Thakur saying that just by chanting Naam Abhas, just by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can easily get liberated, he couldn't digest this. And he spoke in between. He said, this is foolish thing. Many, many great munis and rishis, they read Vedic scriptures for hundreds of years. And they do tapasya for thousands of years in the forest, and they don't get liberation. Like we have example of Vishwamitra, Vasishtha Muni. They had to perform penance for 30-40,000 years. And they have to read scriptures for thousands of years. They don't get liberation. And you foolish person is saying that by chanting one's holy name you get liberation. this is wrong. Gopal Chakravarti, he has no faith on the scriptures. Scriptures are saying that by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one gets liberation. And one should have faith on the scriptures, even if it looks like beyond our understanding. Even if it looks like beyond our knowledge, beyond our logic. But because scriptures say so, so we accept it. Like cow dung. Now any person's stool is impure. If you touch it, you have to take bath. But cow dung, scriptures say, is pure. And cow dung is used in deity abhishek. Is used at the altar. Now one can't say, no, this is also stool, this is impure. No, because the scriptures say cow dung is pure, so we accept it. And one cannot use the logic saying Brahmana is more higher than the cow, so Brahmana's stool is more pure than the cow dung, so I can use Brahmana's stool at the altar for abhishek. That is logically seems to be okay. But that's not scriptural injunction. So scriptures say cow dung is pure and we accept it. Modern scientists, they have done research on cow dung and they have found so many antiseptic, antibacterial, antifungal properties which even a Brahmana's stool or a rich person's stool or a... Anyway, big person's stool doesn't have. See, cow's stool is also so important. Cow dung. So why you have to do research when it's already there in the scriptures? Even the corn shell is a bone. Now bone is considered impure. But we keep it in the altar. Because scriptures say corn shell is pure. So we follow scriptures. If we have faith on scriptures, we can easily practice the process of bhakti. But this Gopal Chakravarti, he didn't have faith on scriptures. He was thinking that when liberation is so difficult to get by so many people, how it is easy for this, when this person says just by chanting the holy name of Krishna. That's because he doesn't understand the glories of Krishna. If some person who doesn't know there is something or elevator, and whole life he has climbed up down 10 floors and you tell him, "Arey, why you climb 10 floors? Just put a lift, one button you will reach on 10th floor." He will say, "What nonsense you are speaking. Unless you climb all the 20 pairs of staircase, you can't reach 10th floor. And you are saying just by one button you can reach 10th floor? What nonsense, foolish argument you are giving." A person will say like that who has no experience of elevator. Who has no experience of lift. But we all know, lift exists, you have to go inside and just touch one button and after some time you will be at 10th floor. So even a child can go so easily. So in the same way, those who have no information about the glories of the holy name, they think liberation is tough, liberation is difficult. But mukti, liberation, is servant of bhakti, devotional service. Below Mangal Thakur, he has written a verse in which he says, "Since I have started doing devotional service to the beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj, Mukti Devi comes on the door of my kutiya, on my house, and with folded hands she stands and says, 'My dear sir, may I serve you?'" Mukti Devi comes to serve Below Mangal Thakur. And Below Mangal Thakur says, no, not now. My 16 rounds are still pending. My chanting is remaining. So Mukti Devi serves Bhakti Devi. One who does Bhakti, he already gets Mukti. But Bhakti is higher than Mukti. Mukti means just coming out of cycle of birth and death. But Bhakti means going back to Krishna. And eternally serving Krishna's lotus feet in Golok Vrindavan, in the spiritual kingdom. That's higher.
So Gopal Chakravarti didn't agree. Then Haridas Thakur replied that, why don't you agree when it's written in the scriptures? I can show you verses where it says that by chanting once Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can get liberation. Gopal Chakravarti said, you prove this to me. I challenge you. You show me one case in which by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one got liberation. If there is no such case, I will cut your nose. Gopal Chakravarti told this to Haridas Thakur. All the audience people got so angry on Gopal Chakravarti. But they didn't speak anything because Haridas Thakur was sitting on the Vyasasana. So Haridas Thakur said, yes, I accept your challenge. If this is not proved by chanting of holy name, one gets liberation, I will myself cut my nose. And that is how the session ended. And Govardhan Majumdar, Hiranya Majumdar, they started chastising Gopal Chakravarti. All the audience left the place by loud noise, saying this is apra, this is not good, this should not have happened, this is inauspicious, now this boy will suffer like anything. And Govardhan Majumdar, Hiranya Majumdar, on the spot suspended him, even though he was bringing 1,20,000 gold coins. They suspended him. He said, we don't want your nokri. You get lost from here. Balram Acharya also said, get lost. It will be very inauspicious for you. And Gopal Chakravarti left the place. Then they beg forgiveness from Haridas Thakur that in our house such an insult of a Vaishnava has happened. Haridas Thakur said, no, no, there is no apraad, no offense. Don't worry. Nobody has done any offense. Even that Gopal has not done any offense. Because he is just a dry logician. He doesn't know anything about bhakti. So Haridas Thakur didn't take any offense. A Vaishnava, pure devotee's characteristic property, characteristic quality is, if anybody offends him, he doesn't take. And a Krishna's characteristic quality is, if anybody offends his devotee, he doesn't forgive. We should know this. If we offend a devotee, the devotee may not take an offense, but Krishna will not leave you. Krishna will 101% punish you. Because Krishna does not tolerate any offense, any insult, any apraad done to his pure devotees. Krishna doesn't tolerate it. There are ample examples. In Navadvip, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave Krishna prem to everybody, including a dog, including a puppy. He gave to everybody. Srivas Pandit, Nityanand Thakur, Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, Murari Gupta, Kholavecha Sridhar, everybody he gave, but he didn't give to Sachi Mata. So all the devotees were wondering that why Mahaprabhu didn't give Krishna prem to his own mother, Sachi Mata. So they asked him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, she will not get Krishna prem because she is Vaishnava Aparadhi. And everybody was surprised. Mahaprabhu's mother Vaishnava Aparadhi, impossible. He said, yes, she has offended Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was surprised hearing this. She never offended me. She is my worshipable personality. She is your mother, God's mother, mother of the universe. Mahaprabhu said, you know, when my elder brother Vishwaroop used to come to your house to hear lectures, and after that Vishwaroop took sannyas, so my mother had very much pain in her heart out of separation from her elder son. So she said, ye Advait ne mere bachche ko bigada. This because of Advait Acharya's lectures, my son took sannyas. So this is offense she did. And because of that offense, she will not get Krishna prem unless she touches Advait Acharya's feet and Advait Acharya forgives. Advait Acharya was surprised hearing this. He said, I will never allow her to touch my feet. She is worshipable to me. And Mahaprabhu said, no, then Sachi Mata will never get Krishna prem. and all the devotees were surprised, what kind of pastime is this? So one day during kirtan in Mahaprabhu's house, Advaita Acharya fainted. He became unconscious. Then all the devotees told Sachimata, this is a chance, please touch his feet. Otherwise when he is conscious, he will never allow. And Sachimata went and touched Advaita Acharya's feet. Seeing this, Mahaprabhu became very pleased and immediately he awarded Krishna Prem to Sachimata. So that's Krishna, that's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahavadanaya. He gives Krishna Prem to anybody and everybody. That's true. But if somebody offends a Vaishnava, then he will not get the success. He has to beg forgiveness from that Vaishnava. Then only he will get Krishna Prem. Otherwise he may chant for millions of years, but he will not get success. So we should be very careful never to hurt Vaishnavas, never to insult Vaishnavas, never to offend Vaishnavas, never to disrespect, never to displease, what to speak about beating a Vaishnava. We should never do that. So Gopal Chakravarti, he insulted Haridas Thakur, but Haridas Thakur didn't take that offense. After 2 days, everybody saw Gopal Chakravarti, who had a very beautiful bodily features. His nose had melted due to leprosy. His hands, fingers, toes, ears, all body parts were melting because of leprosy. Suddenly he caught so heavy leprosy that his body parts were melting. Why? This is not previous karma. This is because he offended Haridas Thakur. When Haridas Thakur came to know such a thing has happened with Gopal, he didn't like it. He was not happy. So he left the village and went forward. So this is power of chanting the holy name of Krishna. That by chanting even once, Naam Abhas, one gets liberation. And by chanting pure holy name, one gets Krishna Prem. So this is highest yajna, highest dharma, highest tapasya, highest knowledge, highest devotional activity. So we should never neglect our daily chanting. Daily we chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on our beads. We should never neglect them. We should chant very nicely so that we get success in this life. Then Krishna further says, among immovable things I am Himalayas. In the last verse we read, among mountains he says, I am Meru. So that is for two reasons. One is for height and one is for movability. Even mountains move. That's not in our experience. Earlier mountains used to fly also, you know that? Earlier mountains had wings and they would fly. But sometimes when they land, they will land on a city and whole city will get crashed. So seeing this, Indra cut off all the wings of the mountains. So nowadays they don't fly. But some mountains have the energy to move. So Meru is movable. But Himalayas, they don't move. So Krishna says, among immovable things, I am Himalayas. Whatever is sublime and great and superior and highest quality in category in this world, that represents Krishna. That's Krishna's vibhuti. That's Krishna's aishwarya. That's Krishna's opulence. And all these things should help us to remember Krishna. All these things should help us to get connected to Krishna. And somehow or other, whole day, whole night, whole life, 24/7, we should be thinking about Krishna. We should be getting connected to Krishna by chanting, hearing, reading, devotional service, visiting to temple, paying obeisances, performing aarti, preaching. Somehow or other, we should be busy with Krishna. That is what Krishna wants. That's why he is giving all this knowledge. So that even for a person who doesn't have much faith, very easily he can remember Krishna. So we should utilize this information. And in this life, we should be completely Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious means conscious of Krishna, thinking of Krishna, absorbed in Krishna, aware of Krishna, busy with Krishna. So we should be conscious of Krishna. Should become nice devotees of Krishna. Okay? We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions we will take? Yes.